Welcome to the MacArthur Boulevard Baptist Church Tensions Podcast with Pastor Ricky Primrose, designed to help you navigate current issues as kingdom citizens. In each episode, Pastor Ricky will tackle a current topic or an event that creates tension within Christians who live in a world that is not our home. Written articles for each episode are available on our website at MacArthurBoulevard.org/tensions.
Well, hello and welcome to the June edition of the Tensions Podcast. This edition is a little bit different. I typically, in the podcast of Tensions, simply just kind of talk through the article that I wrote that corresponds to the podcast, just so that you have two different ways to access that content. Some people like to read. Other people like to listen. I thought I would do it a little bit different this month, though, because this month's topic has to do with the Southern Baptist Convention and some of the conversations and even debates that are happening therein. And so I wrote on that, and you can access that article on the MacArthurBoulevard.org webpage. And I talked to kind of a little bit about what the Southern Baptist Convention is, what it's not. And I really spent some time in the article fleshing out one of the key topics that's being debated right now, which is critical race theory and kind of how that is being described within the SBC right now. But instead, of simply reading through the article that I wrote in the podcast this month, I thought I would bring on a couple of guests to talk through this topic with me. And so with me here today, I have Miss Karen Tain, our family minister for preschool, and Mike Gibbons, who is one of our non-staff directional pastors here at MacArthur Boulevard. Both of them, along with a few others, accompanied me to the SBC annual meeting just a couple of weeks ago in Nashville. And so I thought it would be helpful, having heard my perspective in the article itself, for you to be able to hear from a couple of others that were at the annual meeting and just kind of getting some other perspectives about all the things that are going on in the SBC right now. So Mike, Karen, welcome to Tensions. You're the first ever guest, special guest I've ever had on this podcast, so it's kind of a big deal. And so we're just going to talk through some things here, and we'll see where the conversations go. I thought we would just tee it up very generally and love for each of you guys to just share any general thoughts that you had about the annual meeting itself. I think this was the first SBC annual meeting y'all had ever attended. Mike, have you ever been to an annual meeting before?
It was the first
okay,
one.
So it was a new experience for both of y'all. So just what were some general thoughts that you had? And was there anything coming out of the annual meeting that you just left particularly encouraged by? Mike, I'm going to start with you.
Yeah. So I went in, I got to be transparent. I went in anxious, a little fearful, a little discouraged, just based on some of the things that we had been reading about. I kind of felt like Mark Twain when he saw his obituary before he actually died. Mm. He said, you know, the reports of my death are greatly exaggerated. Well, the reports of the Southern Baptist Convention's death are greatly exaggerated also.
I love it when we quote Mark Twain on this podcast.
Yeah, there's probably some quotes we wouldn't want to use.
Yeah.
Yeah, I came out of the meeting for all kinds of different reasons, very encouraged, hopeful, confident that the SBC's future really looks good. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have some things that we need to talk about and continue to work on, but very encouraged
good.
After... listening to the sermons, talking to some of the other messengers, listening to the debate, if you want to call it a debate. I mean, it was very civil. It was very gracious in my view. And honestly, it was very helpful to me to, I took a class through Midwestern while I was there. Part of that class was that we had to volunteer as pages. So we were the guys and gals standing at the microphone trying to maintain order. Well, there wasn't really any order to maintain. Everybody was civil and gracious, but that was really helpful to hear those guys and gals talking before they got up there. And some of them disagreed with either the motions or the resolutions, but they talked, and it was how we should bear and encourage one another mm-hmm. as Christians. So
that's really cool.
I'm very encouraged.
Yeah. It's easy to come away after you spend any amount of time on social media or watch whatever media outlet you're utilizing and coming away with a particular vision of what's going on in the SBC. And the SBC is not what you read on Twitter or see on CNN or Fox News. It's never as bad as sometimes it's made out to be.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm.
Karen, what were some of your general thoughts or things that you were encouraged by coming out of the annual meeting?
Well, for me, and I consider myself pretty knowledgeable in how SBC works, but it really helped a lot of those pieces fall into place, whether it was understanding the role of the messengers or how resolutions are passed, how those resolutions affect our church, how we are able to operate autonomously from other churches.
Right.
That was hugely helpful. Rob had been before, but it was my first time. So I enjoyed that aspect of it. And just grasping how vast this group of churches is. Yeah. I mean, there were over 15,000 messengers. Mm-hmm. Then you add guests in, and it was well over 21,000, I think they estimate.
Yeah.
And realizing that many of those churches approach how they do ministry within their context differently than us.
Right.
But we all agree on foundational doctrine,
right.
The Great Commission,
right.
And we understand that us cooperating together, even though we do things a little bit differently, greatly helps how we can approach missions and education and so forth.
Yeah. One of the things I talked about in my article is you might hear the Presbyterian Church, the Roman Catholic Church, the United Methodist Church. There is no such thing as the Southern Baptist Church, because
right.
we do believe in the autonomy of the local church. And there are Southern Baptist churches that cooperate together
right.
within certain doctrinal parameters defined by our confession of faith for the sake of the Great Commission. But we certainly are accountable to God, not for what all Southern Baptist churches do. We are accountable to God for what we're going to do here at MacArthur Boulevard. So I agree. That was helpful to see that polity in action there in Nashville. You know, there have been claims by segments within the Southern Baptist Convention that there may be a liberal drift happening within the SBC. And so let's just talk about that for a little bit. I guess my question I would tee up for you guys is do you sense that? And even having been at the annual meeting and kind of heard the various reports and perspectives, did you walk away sensing that there is a liberal drift within the SBC? And whether you did or did not, just kind of offer even be, because I know that's a yes or no question, so elaborate. You know, do you have any kind of interpretation of what maybe what's going on in the SBC right now from your perspective? Mike, again, I'll start with you.
Yeah, so I'll just summarize it. We did not elect, this is my view,
okay?
We did not elect a liberal or even a moderate president. Ed Litton is theologically conservative. He's a godly man. We haven't been lost to liberalism, nor have we saved ourselves from fundamentalism, if you will. I think it was there. I didn't sense any of that. And especially spending these past 10 months on a SBC seminary campus and talking to professors there as well as students, lots of students, there is no, advocate on this is anecdotal, obviously. I didn't take a survey, but there's no advocate for CRT, especially on the Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary campus, at least.
Yeah.
And when you heard you mentioned it in your article. When you listen to the reports from the seminary presidents, they say the same thing,
right.
very strongly. So I got no sense of a liberal drift at all.
Yeah.
From any of the messengers, from any of the speakers, from any of the pastors, nowhere.
Yeah.
So
what do you think, Karen?
I think there's a lot of false narrative out there, and some of that is internal. Some of it is from media. But I think it's kind of was a red herring to distract from things, the other issues, and to maybe cause some division. But every one of those candidates would have been considered a conservative by just about anybody else's terminology.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's not a single candidate, much less, you know, that's who we were voting on, that would have argued the inerrancy or the supremacy right. or the sufficiency right. of God's word, or the Baptist faith and message for that matter,
right.
you know.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, kind of like CRT, it comes down to a definition. You mm-hmm. know, how do you define liberal?
Right.
Well, just like you said, by almost any definition, biblical inerrancy would not be a liberal believing in that. So.
Right.
Right.
CRT does seem to be the issue that has galvanized mm-hmm. part of the divide in the SBC. I agree. Like it was it could not have been made clearer mm-hmm. where our entity heads stand as it relates specifically to CRT, mm-hmm. That there's no entity head within the Southern Baptist Convention that is advocating that this is a worldview or ideology that is aligned with the gospel or with the Bible. I'm sure that underneath that issue, there are deeper questions mm-hmm. that are really driving the conversation as it relates to how Christians relate to secular ideas. Is it appropriate to learn from secular ideas as long as you judge those ideas by the authority of God's word? How are we defining the sufficiency of Scripture? I'm sure there are some nuanced discussions where, yeah, there may be some Southern Baptists who differ a little bit, as Christians throughout church history have differed mm-hmm. a little bit on exactly what do we do with, whether it's soft sciences, hard sciences, what do we do as Christians as we relate to truth claims that are made outside the church, outside the Bible. But to describe the way some leaders within the Southern Baptist Convention, including Ed Linton or previous president J.D. Greer or seminary presidents, as denying the sufficiency of Scripture mm. or drifting to a moderate or liberal posture because they simply acknowledge, yeah, you know what, CRT, like a lot of secular ideologies, makes some factually true observations, and yet it fails to provide ultimate reasons behind those observations or ultimate solutions behind those observations, but there are some observations that maybe we can learn from. To take that nuanced statement and twist it as embracing CRT simply is not a fair characterization of what's being said. We're either not listening carefully or, at best, at worst, we don't care to listen carefully because right. there is another agenda that's driving our accusations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, my fear is, and not to completely hijack the conversation here, I fear that the whole CRT, you described it as a red herring, and I think that's a perfect description. Mm-hmm. It's CRT has dangerous problems. Nobody's denying that. And if the SBC churches, entities have embraced it lock, stock, and barrel, yeah, that would be reason for concern. But this infatuation with it is becoming a distraction. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe even a smokescreen that is keeping some from being able to address some of the racial tension that is within our convention. And now you feel like, I know I've even felt like this as a pastor, that, man, I can't even talk about racial reconciliation without being accused or labeled as a woke Christian right. or a right. CRT advocate, when right. Nothing could be further from the truth.
Right.
And so I think it's an unfortunate reality that CRT has gotten so much attention when there's just no evidence that yeah. it has infiltrated the convention.
Right.
I totally agree. God's common grace
yeah.
allows truth a lot of places.
That's right.
We can learn things from atheists. We can learn things from secular philosophies. We eat the meat and spit out the bones in the old
That's right. saying. So, and yeah. we judge all that truth by the ultimate authority of God's
That's
word.
Right. That's
and
right.
where it doesn't align, we reject it. But
well, even the sermon, whatever it's called, the keynote sermon from Willie Rice.
Yeah.
I mean, what stuck with me, there's a lot of things. He did a really good job. But one of the things that stuck with me is he spoke to CRT and he said, it's a hopeless prognosis with powerless prescription.
Oh, that's good alliteration.
He did a good job, didn't he? But it's true. I mean, the underlying worldview makes it difficult, but there is some truth in there. And I think, I don't want to hijack this conversation either, but I think we have to be careful with CRT and dismissing it in its entirety. Otherwise, we come off as not, to some, we would come off as racist.
That's right.
Or not looking towards
racial reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
I got your back there, ma'am.
Yeah. And, you know, and I'll just hop in here and say and give a plug for, you know, with our Be the Bridge curriculum, what we do in our groups, it is such solid biblically based curriculum. And although there are other factors brought in for us to consider and think through, and we hear each other's stories, it is still biblically based, and we understand the root of this issue is sin.
Yeah.
It is a heart issue.
I think it's important to consider, not to belabor the point, but this is a big. This is one of the big topics right now in the SBC.
Yeah.
How what we decide to get angry about affects those around us, and I guess what I mean by that is there is it's undeniable. That the SBC has racist origins. This is a convention that was formed at least in part by racist motivations. And the convention has acknowledged that and publicly apologized and repented, et cetera. But racism has been a problem in the SBC. And I think we would be naive to claim that it's not to some degree, we can debate to what degree, but to some degree, still something that Southern Baptist churches are going to struggle with. And so for our brothers and sisters of color to hear the outcry so strongly against CRT, but then silence no outcry against racism.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that anybody's wanting to fully embrace CRT, but like what message does that send? You know, that you're willing to get angry over this ideology and point out all of its problems, but man, where is that same righteous anger toward you know, the things that the concerns we have or the experiences that we've had.
Right.
And just to back it up for a second, CRT at the convention itself, I don't think was as rancorous as we may have expected. There was some discussion, but there was still grace and unity there. Would you guys agree with
that?
I would.
Yeah.
So it's an emotional subject, and it at least pre-convention, it was talked about a lot, but I think it was handled well, and we discussed it.
Mm-hmm.
Still things to talk about, but...
Yeah.
No doubt. Now, Karen, Mike already kind of mentioned his perspective on the newly elected president of the Southern Baptist Convention, Ed Litton. I don't know that any of us knew Ed Litton super well prior to his nomination for a president. So we all kind of went back and probably read and kind of did a little research. But just interested, Karen, what was your perspective about Ed Litton being elected president of the SBC?
Well, I was very encouraged for several reasons. In leading up to the annual meeting, I think all of us were doing reading and researching and figuring out candidates, some that we already knew and some we didn't. I'm encouraged that he already has a heart for issues that SBC is already facing, has had a heart for that for many years, not related to the current controversy, and has led his church in dealing with some of those issues, specifically toward racial reconciliation. So I'm greatly encouraged by that. I love that he is a pastor, which brings a very specific skill set of shepherding people. And that's not always the case, and it doesn't necessarily always have to be.
Right.
But in this particular time in our in the convention where there needs to be healing, where there is division, I think a someone to come in with a pastor's heart is going to be super helpful.
Yeah.
Well said. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I listened to some of his sermons, and they were very pastoral. And, you know, I think something to remember, too, and I don't want to hog the time, but is to remember, as you mentioned in your article, that the president of the SBC is not who governs the convention.
That's right.
Right.
It's the messengers, as we saw there.
Right.
It's the messengers that govern the SBC, and technically just for 2 days out of the year.
Right.
But that being said, the president is, if you will, the face of our convention, and from what I've seen, he's, as you mentioned, a spokesman, if you will, for unity, racial reconciliation based on his past actions. So let's just don't forget where the authority of the Southern Baptist Convention actually lies.
Right.
And it's with Ricky and me and you and the other messengers that are at the convention.
Right.
You know, encouragement that, and if you don't take anything else away from this episode of Tensions, you know, if everything that's going on in the SBC is something that you've struggled with or have had a lot of questions on, my encouragement would be, as you try to research and educate yourself, rely on primary sources. Mm-hmm. Read people for themselves. Read them in context. Listen to them. I love what you just said, Mike. You know, going back and actually listening to Edlett. There's been a lot of things that have been said about past President J.D. Greer, current President Ed Litton, and the other presidential candidates. Don't allow their critics to shape your view of them,
right,
because their critics are going to portray them in the light that supports the case that they're trying to make, particularly in the media. Mm-hmm. The way headlines are formed, the blurbs and the quotes that are utilized, are chosen so that you'll click, so that you'll read, so that you'll get angry and mad. And so my encouragement, whether it's things you've heard about J.D. Greer or Ed Litton or even Mike Stone and Al Mohler for that matter, whether it's things you've heard about Resolution 9, the big CRT resolution of 2019, go back and read it. Mm-hmm. Listen to them,
yes,
for yourselves. Read them for yourselves. And then come away with your own conclusions. But don't rely upon the critics as something to define who that person is or what that thing is.
Yeah, and it's the headlines. It's the things that don't get written in the headlines that really identify who the SBC is. I don't know. Did you guys go to the NAM luncheon?
No, I did not.
I mean, the compassion shown to one of the pastors who had survived COVID, had a double lung transplant.
Right.
The church that was praying for him, NAM stepped in, paid his mortgage, bought him a car because of all the miles that they were putting on, all kinds of other stuff, paid his medical bills. That doesn't get reported, right?
Right.
That's not
right
in the headline. And that's just one story of all kinds of different stories that was at the convention,
yeah,
that
right
don't get reported about the compassion.
Right.
So
that's exactly right. Well, as we kind of bring this conversation to a close, let's just kind of finish with a forward view as we kind of look toward the future now. The annual meeting is behind us, and so I'd love to hear from both of you, just, you know, what would you guys like to see the SBC grow? How would you like to see us grow? How would you like to see our convention improve in the days ahead? Where are still some opportunities for us to grow as a convention of churches? Karen, I'll let you start this time.
Probably two primary areas. One is whether real or perceived, there were actions by the executive committee over the last couple of years that didn't come off as being transparent, maybe even trying to hide things, whether that's true or not. But there were resolutions that were put into place this time that give me great hope that any political power that might be there or any just attempt to not be transparent has been removed.
Right.
And so whether that was intentional or not,
yeah,
I feel much more confident in that.
Mm-hmm.
I hope to also see us genuinely grow in efforts both for racial unity, but also for just being a safe place for victims of abuse,
yeah,
that have happened within the church.
That's right.
And to give them a place where we not only acknowledge, but give them space to heal and make efforts toward that not happening in the future.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, ever since the Houston Chronicles report back from, I guess it was 2019, that uncovered all kinds of, mm-hmm, not just cases of sexual abuse, but cover-ups within,
yes,
SBC churches, mm-hmm, entities, which is awful and grieving in so many ways. not only do we need to improve, and there's trust and credibility that needs to be repaired. Yes. And so steps like some of the ones that were taken at the annual meeting to even to bring in independent third party firms to help investigate alleged mishandlings of sexual abuse claims. Those are helpful steps to help repair the credibility that's been lost and to improve in an area where we have to grow and do better.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, Mike, what did you think?
Yeah, I totally agree with Karen. There's some particular issues that we need to continue to discuss, and I was optimistic that we did some good things there. I mean, the annual meeting is to, in my view at least, is to support and sustain what the local church does going forward, and inspire us, if you will, from the Word to continue. So, in a more general sense, I would hope that we would not allow the culture or the media to distract us from what our focus should be, which is the Great Commission, which was mentioned so many times from the stage about that's where our focus needs to be. And to mention Willie Rice again, he said, you know, we can't trade gold and precious stones for wood, hay, and stubble from 1 Corinthians. So I just pray that annual meeting, to see how the unity that we did have will propel us forward to address some of the issues that you brought up and that we're going to face going forward.
Yeah. You know, we're a convention of churches that's united in the gospel. We have articulated doctrinal boundaries in our confession of faith, the Baptist Faith and Message. And we've decided to cooperate together for the sake of the Great Commission. That's really what the SBC is. It's not more than that. It's like-minded churches that cooperate for missions. And I think that was a central message that came through in the annual meeting, and one that resonates with each of us, is that needs to be our focus. We are at our best, and it's why we cooperate and partner with the SBC, because we believe in missions. And we are at our best when we stop the infighting, and we start working together to take the gospel. Not that these aren't important issues, but we can get so consumed with the minutiae of disagreements that we lose sight of our common faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ and our common mission to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Mm-hmm. In the next few Tensions articles, I'm hoping, Lord willing, to take some of these particular topics like CRT, topics like some of the gender debates that we didn't really get into a lot here, but is another one of those things that kind of are continually being discussed within the SBC, and maybe do some deeper dives on that coming in July and August in the months ahead. So be on the lookout for that. But thank you so much, Pastor Mike, Ms. Karen, for sharing your thoughts and perspectives. And thank you for listening to another edition of Tensions.